This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of new beginnings, you tell us in Scripture that you are doing something new. Do we not perceive it? So help us to perceive it, to believe it, to receive it, and to be it, to give hope for this world that is in need of so much hope, peace, joy, and your love. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year. I don't see anyone with their party hats still on or any pajamas, but we are so grateful that you are here to begin this year together. We celebrate this feast that is titled the Holy Name of Jesus. It has been called through history at times the circumcision of Jesus, or with an accent on Mary, the purification of Mary at times, though that is more connected with the presentation that we will be celebrating 40 days after the birth. But it is a wonderful chance for us to be together on this, the first day of the new year. As a major feast, when it falls on a Sunday, it supersedes that which we would normally be having the Sunday after Christmas. And the Sunday after Christmas, one of the years, we always hear a wonderful reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And we had a wedding here last night for Robert Langen and Isabel Snow. And just by chance, they had chosen that reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And because of that, I took that as a sign from God that that would be the sermon material that I would use. So if you are interested in that take on something to reflect upon for the new year, so if you don't like what I have to say this morning, go watch the live stream from last night, because there was some good stuff in there. And what we used, you know, we lost a lot of people this past year in our own lives and in our communal lives and in the world. And I used some of the quotes from those particular people as sort of a basis of a reflection on what Paul's message is to us. But there's one I didn't use last night. And, you know, Robert and Isabel were high school sweethearts that have been together since high school. And so there was one quote I was going to use, and I didn't, but I thought, well, let's use it this morning. And we lost this past year someone who had served as Secretary of State by the name of Madeleine Albright. I think we all know her. Former Secretary of State, advocate, an example for women's equality. And this is her quote: "The world would be entirely different if it were run by women. I think it is true that we are more seeking consensus, women, and don't have such big egos and have a variety of different ways of trying to get along. But anybody who says that the world would be better with women running it has forgotten about high school." Women in high school. And of course she adds, it depends on who those women are who are running the school. It's all about change. It's all about our willingness to change. As I said in the opening prayer, God says, "Behold, I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it?" The first reading that we had that famous as it's called the Aaronic Blessing, comes to the Jewish people at a time when they are getting ready to move from Mount Sinai towards the Promised Land. And this is sort of a mantra, a blessing that they are to remember each and every day. And we lose a bit of it in the translation from the Hebrew, but there is this poetic construction that starts from the smallest to the greatest as the sort of assets of God are mentioned in that blessing to give us the idea that this is all about God. And so too for us, the call is the same. Now, I have a favorite New Year's story, and I apologize because many of you who have been here when we've done this service midweek during the years have heard it before, but I just love it when we're talking about what we're doing today. And it goes like this. It's told by Tom Irvin. He was a professor of music at the University of Arizona, and he was attending a music conference in New York. And while at the conference, he purchased a talking metronome. And a metronome is the thing that keeps time for you musically. Well, he and his son were going to board the flight to go home, and he had his carry-on bag, and he placed it onto the conveyor belt, and of course, guess what was in the bag? The metronome. The security guard's eyes widened as he watched the monitor, and he asked Tom, "What's in the bag?" And the guard slowly pulled it out, and there was a 6x3-inch black box covered with dials and switches. Travelers started to vacate the area. "It's a metronome," Tom replied weakly. "And it's a talking metronome," he insisted. "Look, I'll show you." So he took the box, flipped the switch, and really didn't realize how it worked, but all of a sudden, the metronome in perfect time said, 1, 2, 3, 4. And everyone breathed a sigh of relief. And as they gathered their belongings, Tom's son whispered, "Aren't you glad it didn't go 4, 3, 2, 1? We have been counting down the days till Christmas. And we, as good Episcopalians, now count these 12 days of Christmas as we go forward. And as we celebrate this eighth day, which, as the scripture tells us, was that time when Jesus would be circumcised and would be given his official name, it becomes a point for us to sort of reflect upon what that means for us practically. Now, I usually, on this day, give a very practical suggestion to begin with. I'm not really into New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you are, but you know, they tell us that people who make New Year's resolutions, there's only about 25% of them that last more than a week after we make them on January 1st. Resolution. Perhaps we need to look at it differently as a re-solution. To look at our lives and to see what is really working and what isn't working for us. I know there's that doctor that has that show and he interviews people about their approach to things, and his classic line he always says to them, "How's that working for you?" Well, there are things in our lives that perhaps as we talk about God doing something new, we need to ask ourselves that question, well, how's that working for you? Maybe we need to take a new approach. One of the practical things, though, that I like to share with us today, and I'm madly looking for the quote in my notes here, but it has to do with the way we use the name of Jesus. Now, if we were of the Muslim faith, any way that we would use the name of Allah, if it was not proper, could get us in big trouble. Perhaps we don't need to go to that extreme, but we need to think about the ways that we use the name of Jesus. Jesus is not defined as that which we say when we hit our thumb with a hammer. But let's fess up, that is what we do a lot of times. And whether or not we think much about it, for those that do not have such a reverence for the name, or even for our approach to our lives, could get the wrong idea very easily. So if you're looking for something to have a resolution about, it's the way in which we use the name of Jesus Christ. I found this quote. I don't know who gets credit for it, but I just want to read to you these lines talking about reverence for Jesus' name. We would miss the significance of the name of Jesus if we took that name as only a label, a way to distinguish one person from the next. The name of Jesus points us to who he is for us, the Savior, the one who delivers us, rescues us, leads us, as did the Old Testament Joshua into a land of freedom, a new way of life. The name of Jesus is the sign of our salvation, given to us by God. This name is a verbal sacrament, something spoken which conveys to us the grace of God. When this name is used to us with faith and reverence, it is for us a prayer. Indeed, of all prayers, it's the best. No other prayer is so simple. None is so great. Do we want to pray not only with our lips, but from our heart? Then we should use this holy name. Just that name can be our prayer when we don't know what else to say. Saying the name of Jesus with faith and reverence. Let this prayer, his name, rise and fall with the rhythm of our breath. Jesus. Jesus. Let the name of Jesus become for you a holy habit, a second nature. You'll never wear out this word. You will find in this great name enough sweetness and consolation, enough courage and joy to last a lifetime, whatever may come upon you. The saints of the church from many centuries and many countries bear witness to the power and renewal they have found in the making of the name of Jesus their frequent, oft repeated prayer. As it is classically called, the Jesus Prayer. It can be for us. One of my favorite comic strips is Calvin and Hobbes, and the classic line that Hobbes has is that the problem with the future is that it keeps turning into the present, meaning we procrastinate, we put off. And I think we all know deep down those areas of our life where we really feel that we are encouraged, even moved by God to make a change. This is just a made-up day, January 1st. But as we celebrate the holy name of Jesus, well, maybe today can be the day. You know, the gospel tells us today that after the angels had gone back to heaven, that is when they went to visit the child. That's when they went and told the world. I know the Christmas trees aren't supposed to come down till Epiphany, but I acknowledge a lot of them are down already. The stores have already changed their decorations and getting ready for Valentine's Day. But for us, the angels are still with us because we are those angels. We are those shepherds. In whatever way, God is calling each one of us to resolve, to look for a better way. May we continue to open our hearts to that possibility. Today we're going to have a liturgical action that will enable us during the prayers of the people to express that. The anointing ministers, as we do for the Word Beyond Words and on Saturday nights, will be gathered up here. And the candles that are available, you can come forward at any point, placing them into the candle stands that are scattered up here, symbolic of whatever your prayer intention is today. And if you would like, you can present yourself before that particular priest or lay anointing minister, and we will have silent anointing today. No words are expressed. God knows what is in the depths of our hearts, that which we are resolved to change and want God's help to do so. And as we do that, the anointing minister will lay their hands upon you in silence and then anoint you with oil, and then you can go back to your seats. We would welcome you at any point during the prayers of the people to participate in that on this most holy day as we honor the holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.